Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Discussions on gear, technique, industry news, and interviews with the best in the business. Now, here are your hosts, Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. This is Rich Baum from Sacramento, California.
And Brian Berkowitz from New York.
New York, New York.
Yes.
And welcome you. Welcome, Brian. How are you doing this week?
Not bad. We have the dog days of summer out here in New York. We have 90, 100 degrees.
What the hell does that
mean? I don't know, but you go outside and I'll tell you, it's rough out there. It's like 90, 100 degrees. The humidity is unbearable.
It's a really bad 100 too.
Oh, it's horrible. I mean, I shot 3 properties today, and that's very rare for me. I very rarely shoot more than 2 in a day. And for those listening, it's night when we're recording this now. It's in the evening and I'm just wiped. I'm exhausted. I commend those people that do 3 or more properties in a day because it is,
5, 6, 7.
It is not easy. It is a hustle. And especially in this New York humidity, it is brutal.
Well, it's been just beautiful, crystal clear blue skies, 80 degrees, 85 degrees here in Northern California. Wonderful. It's been very busy. I've been just so happy. I've been doing some designer shoots along with my real estate shoots. Been getting into the Sony system. I'm really still very, very excited about that. My second body, A7 III, comes tomorrow. So I will have 2 cameras for weddings. And just everything is going
great.
You
were able to get them pretty quick because I know there's a waiting list for a while for some of them.
Well, I waited and waited, and I put it on the group, and someone said, go check out Cardinal Camera, and I think they're in Philadelphia or Pennsylvania, but they're a store, a chain of stores, and I'm not affiliated in any way, shape, or form with them, but they had them in stock, and they shipped it to me, and I get it tomorrow, so I'm totally stoked.
That's it, so now you're all in.
I'm almost there. I still got to get an ultra wide angle lens for my landscape work, not my real estate work, but my landscape, but super happy and everything's working great. So,
So it was a successful transition, you would say.
Yeah. Yeah. I recommend to, I don't even want to go into the Nikon mirrorless release.
That's a topic for another episode. Because
maybe I can get Nikon on the phone and we could do an interview. But I think they've got bigger fish to fry right now.
Yeah, that's what I hear. But
that's, you know.
And now I think it's time for an Ask the Guys. It's been a couple of weeks since we've done one, and we have a bunch of questions in the queue. A lot of good ones, and it's been a while, so I'm excited to get into it with a couple of questions.
Well, I think Ask the Guys is great. And if you're not familiar with it, if you're a new listener, we have an opportunity on the website to click and you can record a 90-second question, and either we will answer it or we'll try and save a good one and maybe get a professional or a company. We can get them either on the phone or in person, and not in person, but we can record with them and do a podcast, and you can get the answers right from the horse's mouth.
Sure, yeah. I know a few weeks ago we did one with a copyright attorney on a copyright question we had, and we have another question that we received, which I think we're going to work on getting a professional on as well to come on and answer. So definitely go onto our website and submit your questions. We're here to help.
Great. So you want to play it for us?
Here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Tom Vargiletis over in Massachusetts, and my question is about lighting real estate interiors. I've been shooting real estate full-time for a couple of years now, and I keep having an issue with glare and reflections in glass and ovens and things like that. So my question is, do you use a certain kind of light modifier or a specific type of flash placement, or do you do what I've been doing is just taking multiple flash shots, moving it around the room until the glare is gone, and blending it in Photoshop afterwards?
Great. Thank you, Tom. Tom is Vargiletis from Massachusetts. That is a great question and one that I'm sure all of us often face. So, Rich, why don't we start with you? glare in glass, ovens, windows, all that stuff from the flash. How do you tackle that?
Well, Tom, thank you so much for that question. That really is a topic that we all deal with. I know I do. And I want to say, and you said you've been shooting full-time for a couple of years, and I think that the more you shoot, every shoot you do, every house you do, you probably learn a trick or two, maybe, if you're lucky, maybe three, four. And as far as this technique I'm going to talk about, I really find that after a while, all the things I used to worry about and flash reflections and like what you said is you move the flash over and then using one flash to mask out the other flash and this and that. Well, there's certainly that is definitely one way you can deal with the issue, but there are so many ways to deal with it. And I'm just going to try and bring up, let the ambient do the heavy lifting as far as let your ambient shot really help you on the glares. And let me try to bring up a few examples. Let's say you're shooting and you're in a kitchen and you're shooting a kitchen with either black wood or even medium wood, any kind of wood, and you're getting flash glare. Now, we all know, or maybe we don't all know, but what you could do is, sure, you could put your flash up, take the main image, your flash image, and then if you have a flash reflection in the wood, you then move your flash to another spot. So now your flash reflection has moved. And what you do is you then, all you use from that second image, you mask in the area. So you're basically masking out that first flash reflection. Well, that's the way I really came into this, because I was trying to do, like, I was going full Scott Hargis doing, trying to get everything in camera, and I wasn't really incorporating an ambient image into my repertoire. So I would do, I would have to figure out, I'd have to move flashes, or I'd have to, you know, turn my flash one way or move it around a corner, something like that, and get really creative. Well, what I started doing, and I found that I started the way I shoot now, and that's incorporating flash and ambient exposures and taking the best of both. What I do is to really try and make sure that I see the flash shot I've got. And then if I have a flash reflection, I want to have an ambient exposure that will be proper exposure and proper situation, whatever it takes. I want to make sure that I have an ambient shot. So most of the time now, instead of doing what you're doing, I'm just taking the ambient shot. I'm adjusting it in Lightroom to match the color of the area I need it to use it to fix the flash reflection. And I'm just masking in ambient exposure into the wood. And I find in general that works almost 90% of the time for me. Sure, there are some times it's not going to work, or it's very difficult to get your ambient exposure to match your flash exposure. But I find that if I've got a good ambient exposure, I can use that to mask out flash reflections in wood. I can use it for, let's say I'm shooting in a bathroom, and I have got a reflection of myself in the mirror in the bathroom. I have my tripod, myself, and I tend to shoot my ambient shot first, and then I shoot my flash shot. So when I shoot my flash shot, I just want to make sure that my ambient shot, I generally use the reflection of the window is all ambient. So I will either freehand mask out myself with the mask myself out of the flash shot and mask in the reverse view in the mirror. Now, I hope that makes sense, because it's a concept, and these concepts can be a little difficult at the beginning, but once you get it, it really is easy, and it's really super fast and quick to incorporate into your workflow. Now, let's say you are doing a window, and you are not doing a window pull, but let's just say you have a flash reflection in the window. Well, there you're going to have to probably move your flash, get a second flash reflection in another area, and then do what you're talking about. But I think a lot of times I can just take care really quickly and simply, just take care of all kinds of reflections by just masking in the ambient exposure. And I just want to add one more thing. Sometimes I might have to take an ambient exposure in Lightroom and make a virtual copy and duplicate that exposure one or two more times so I can change the color or the exposure for different areas to deal with issues that I have in that flash exposure. So I might have to have one exposure, ambient exposure, to fix the reflection in the mirror. I might have to have one to fix the wood. So it just depends on what you need. And the most important thing is to make sure that you have what you need and you can really see these issues before you get home, because the time to really address these issues is as you're making the mistake. Don't find out when you get home that you've got that mistake, because you can't go back and redo
it. Yeah, I was actually just going to ask you, Rich, how you best match the color on an ambient shot versus your flash shot that you're going to eventually blend together, because I know that the color balance is usually never the same. So I know there's a bit of work. And you know what? I've never actually made virtual copies and balanced different ones for different spots, which is a good idea. But like you said, I usually end up, you know, trying to best match my flash shot in Lightroom or either in Photoshop as a layer. I'll add adjustment layers on top using curves or use saturation or anything like that, and try to best match my flash layer underneath and go from there.
Well, we certainly know that there are many ways of doing everything. And I tend to do what I do, but I always try and caveat it with, like, if I'm using ambient to use it for luminosity or exposure, I'm going to, adjust that area. Let's say I have a main room, and then behind it's a kitchen, and then you see a hallway going down to a bedroom. Well, if you're doing, you're trying to get it all in camera, you really got to light everything. And it's really difficult sometimes to light hallways, closets, things like that. So basically what I'll do is I will take a good ambient exposure, and I'll look at this shot as I'm taking it going, okay, do I have this? Do I have this room? Do I have this room? So I try and get the luminosity correct, but sometimes you can have trouble absolutely with colors matching. And what I think you can do is to take your ambient image in Lightroom or in Capture One or whatever you're using, and I just think that you can use many tools to adjust that image to match what you need. Now, you can take out the orange. Let's say your ambient shot, your cabinets are really orange from tungsten light. Well, you can take that orange out, and what you're really concentrating on, what I'm concentrating on, is to take out whatever you need just by looking, trying to match back and forth. I want you to highlight both images in Lightroom, the flash image and the ambient image, and you can go right and left and right and left, and you go from your flash image to your ambient image and just looking, and you're adjusting your ambient image to match.
If you hit C on your keyboard, it has a compare feature which will allow both of them to pop up side by side, and then you can do it that way. So
again, there's so many ways to do everything.
Kind of have to go that method and go back and forth. Definitely use the compare feature in Lightroom, and you know, your first image and your new image will pop up side by side, and you can definitely make adjustments that way.
But what I do, because let's say you've got three images, you're going to have a one flash shot and two ambient images. I'm just highlighting all three images I'm working with so I can just go back and forth and back and forth. So that your way would work, but it's just, you know what? It's just, I've done it for so long. It's so easy.
Look, everyone's ingrained with their own method.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you can also try and do a luminosity when you're masking in. You can put your masking mode into, the regular masking mode.
Normal.
I'm having a brain fart. Normal mode. You can put it into luminosity mode, which is at the other end of the all the different ways and all the modes. And you can try and see if luminosity mode will help. But as we discussed in discussed in our podcast with Lumenzia, Greg from Lumenzia, we found that might help you a lot too. Lumenzia would probably work great for that. and you can make a specific color mask for what you need.
Sure. And I also want to add this method that you're talking about with these reflections and these highlights that also work in the opposite for shadows and things like that. If you're getting shadows from the flash is causing a shadow in one corner from a fan or a chandelier or anything like that, this blending in the ambient, which, you know, I think is very common. A lot of us use that very often and frequently. Can take care of the shadows too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really, I might make the, okay, I was telling you how I'll take an ambient image and I'll make a virtual copy of it. Well, that would be an example of why I would make a virtual copy of it. I may just take the one virtual copy specifically to match the color of the wall where that ceiling fan shadow, the color and the exposure of that wall so that I can just mask in the ambient shot, and that will take out your reflection from a ceiling fan or something like that. And that is in all my videos on my YouTube channel. I'm doing that in every shot. And it's really the three things that we want our ambient, I want in for my ambient exposure is I want to have good luminosity, good exposure so that I can have my ambient help with, let's say I need to lighten up a hallway in the background. So I make that hallway the right color, but I want it to be the right exposure. I then can help fix shadows, mistakes, problems, so I can mask in that the ambient shot to fix with reflections and shadows. And the other thing is you can also mask in shadows because the way I shoot, it tends to make a very flat image because I'm lighting from camera. And as many people say, and I agree, the best way to shoot would be directional light, which would give, as someone that we all know says, a much more sexy image. Well, my way is just it saves me a lot of time not to have to do it in camera. I will have an ambient shot, and sometimes I'll make a virtual copy just for the shadows. So I'm going to use this ambient image for all the different parts that I'm going to use to help my flash image. And as I always say, though, the most important thing to your success and the speed of shooting is to get a really good solid flash exposure. I don't mean overpowering or really flashy. I just mean a well-lit flash exposure. Then it's going to save you time in fixing things. It's going to save you time in editing. It's just going to be great, and it's going to produce a much better image.
Sure. You know, and I use a very similar method to you, although as we just spoke about, we go about it in different ways, and that's fine. I do the same thing with blending and ambient. But I think as you shoot more and more and get used to it, I think you start to learn and you're able to see much quicker the different angles you can shoot at. And, you know, based on your camera placement and you see there's a stove there, okay, I know that I can't put my flash between here and here. And you kind of learn very quickly on the fly. You're able to kind of learn how you approach moving your flash so you're not reflecting. Mm-hmm. I guess you can call it the angle of incidence, where you know where exactly. You have to put your flash in a different area to not reflect back into your camera. And that just happens with experience, with time. You'll just learn, you know, if I'm shooting to, you know, a stove this way, I cannot put my flash there because that's going to reflect right back into my camera. So that'll just come with time, practice, all that. But yeah, I think your ambient method is the quickest and easiest way to tackle it from a post side, and from when you're on site and you want to try to avoid it. Yeah, just learn where your angle of incidence is and move your flash accordingly.
I urge everybody to look up angle of incidence because it's a really, really great term. It's basically if, let's say, your flash is pointing not straight up but angled forwards, well, it's going to hit that ceiling and it's going to come down in a forward progression because it's like a pinball. And that's where it goes. And, you know, a couple of other things that I want to ask you about. One thing is Tom asked about flash placement. And one thing I tend to do is I tend to always point my flash straight up. I don't point them forward. I don't point them back. I do straight up because that's going to help with shadows. And it's really, really, I urge everybody, especially people just learning, go into a room in your house and start playing with the flash. Move it up, move it down, move it forward, angle it forward, angle it back, angle it sideways, and you can see the results. But the last question I want to address from Tom is light modifiers. And I'll be honest with you, I rarely use light modifiers, and I used to use a shoot-through umbrella every so often, but I'll be honest, I don't think I might have used a shoot-through umbrella one shoot this whole year. I just don't use any modifiers. What do you do, Brian? You use modifiers?
I don't use any modifiers at all either. I mean, I have a smaller reflector on some of my flashes, but other than that, I do not. On some of my designer shoots, I will put a small softbox over a speed light or something like that just to soften a little, but on my regular, typical real estate shoot, I do not. Yeah. Like you said, I'll shoot either straight up into the ceiling, or I actually do sometimes shoot back on an angle. Never straight back. So my flash is never like back on a 90 degree angle, but more of like a 45 up. Yeah. If I have a white wall and ceiling combination, I would go up like that.
Like a Hargis.
Exactly. So, and sometimes I'll shoot straight up. And what I like to do, if I shoot straight up into the ceiling, what I like to do is I take that little white card in the speed light that pops out, and I'll put that in the front of the flash to prevent some of that light from hitting, that direct light from hitting the subject. So all the light that's hitting my scene is more bounce light instead of direct light. So I'm kind of using that little white card as a flag, if you want to call it that, to block some of the direct light from hitting my scene, and more of the bounce light is filling in for its place.
And, you know, and I'm not really ripping on, I mean, softboxes are great tools. It's just not the right tool for the job, because trying to get through a house with a softbox, forget it. I've used them.
I use it on my designer shoots. That's it. When I light paint or something like that, but I would never use it for a house. Mm-hmm. Besides the fact that it's just bulky and, you know, heavy to lag around. You also lose probably what, a stop or stop and a half, depending on your softbox. So you need a little bit more powerful lights. But one thing I also want to mention when we're talking about reflection and glare, and this is not flash related, but in the last few months, I started using a circular polarizer on almost all my shoots. And it's been incredible for reducing a lot of that window reflection that I get from the ambient side of things. Not even from the flash. So, you know, if I'm shooting in the middle of the day and that sun is reflecting right onto that wood floor that we were talking about from the window, I'd use my circular polarizer and, you know, just turn it a little bit and it can reduce all that significantly or even remove it altogether. So I don't know if you use one, Rich, but if you don't, definitely consider, you know, purchasing one and trying it out, because it works wonders. And I started using it all the time.
Well, we actually, on my workshops this year, on almost every workshop, I'd pull out a circular polarizer and we'd all try and make issues go away with them. And unfortunately, I didn't really find, at least in the situations we were doing, I found them to be minimally effective. But I'm not saying that they don't work great. You just have to be in the right situation, because polarizers work at certain angles and certain lights. And so, but I certainly think that everybody out there should, for one, own a circular polarizer, and for two, practice it and have it at your disposal so you can be aware of a benefit, like you're saying, be aware of it. So when you have these issues, you can take advantage of it. And I'm going to promise you, my next shoot, I'm going to bring out my polarizer, circular polarizer, just for you.
All right. Awesome.
Awesome.
Text me afterwards and let me know how it goes with your CP filter.
And I want to say, we'll leave it for another Ask the Guys question, but we haven't even dealt with natural glare and reflections, where, you know, you have to deal with wooden floors, or, you know, we'll have to deal with that another time.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I kind of brought it up at this little end point. But yeah, that can be a whole conversation for another time.
20-minute conversation, because I love dealing with that stuff. And I've got some really good, really good tips and tricks for that one.
Maybe I will submit an Ask the Guys question.
Oh, I can talk to myself in a third person.
Hey, whatever works.
Awesome. So I hope that helps Tom. Tom, I hope that helps you out in Massachusetts.
Yep. Tom, thanks for your question. We appreciate it. Hope not only that it helps Tom, but it helps everybody else have a little insight as far as flash reflection, which I know is a problem that plagues all of us.
I got some videos on my YouTube channel that specifically deal with flash reflections in wood cabinets. So if you're new to this and you're a little going scratching your head, like, what are they talking about? Get on over there and check out the YouTube channel. And I also want to say that, you know,
maybe we'll give you a nice plug, Rich. We'll link right back to your YouTube channel videos on this specific topic in the show notes.
I haven't been doing a lot of videos lately because I've been super busy, but I'm thinking about them and I'm thinking about everybody out there. And I really want to say that, especially for the newer people and the people that are trying to leave, ambient lighting or HDR or whatever and go to flash, don't let all this stuff really inhibit you or intimidate you. It's going to take longer at the beginning. Absolutely. It may take insanely longer, but that gets faster the better you do it, the more you do it. And in the long run, I think that you're just going to be so much happier learning all these techniques. But don't let it worry you. Don't feel intimidated or just, it will come and it will start to make sense. Just give it some time. If I can do it and if Brian can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah, sounds good, Rich. And with that, I guess that's about our time.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So just reminding everybody to submit your Ask the Guys questions. We have a few left, but we can always use more. And sometimes the Ask the Guys questions we receive inspire us to go out and get different guests. Also, some of these interviews that we've done with people have been inspired by some ideas that were brought up on Ask the Guys questions. So besides having your questions asked by us or a professional, it also inspires us to go out and get new interviewees for you. So please submit those questions.
Yeah, and if you've seen a product online and you want to know more about it, we might be able to get in touch with the company and have them on in an interview. So that'd be great if you would submit those.
Yeah, even if you, forget to ask the guys, even if you have any good ideas for some topics mm-hmm. for discussion, by all means, just send us a message on our website and we'll consider it if it's worthy of speaking.
Great. Awesome topic. Thank you again, Tom.
All right, Rich.
Okay, Brian.
Until next time.
This has been Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Subscribe to the show and don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow Rich and Brian on social media and at their website, shootingspacespodcast.com.